And so if you would be turning in your Bibles to Revelation 16, we'll hopefully get through half of this. The last half, next week, I may split up into two parts. Because next week, we will talk about Armageddon. Armageddon comes up in chapter 16 at the end. So I may spend a little more time on that. But we're in Revelation 16, and so thank you, Jim, for that. Seemed like that took a lot of digging for you to do all that.
Yeah, I used AI.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, even the true false thing, that was. So this first plague is going to talk about a noisome sore that people with the mark of the beast get this vial poured out on them. The second vial, the sea becomes as blood. The third is the rivers and fountains of waters become as, now they actually do become blood, it says. So this is more salt water, this is more fresh water. And then the sun scorches men with fire. The vial gets poured out on the seed of the beast, and it becomes darkness. The great river Euphrates dries up, and then here's the word out, Armageddon shows up. And then the seventh one, these thunders, lightnings, the earthquake, and the great hail falls from heaven. And I put them up here. I don't know if you guys can, probably can't read them from where you're at, but I've got seven vials here. I brought a little carrying case. I got to take this back to work. Not these vials. I'll probably won't reuse them, but this little carrying case.
Can tilt that just a little so these guys can see.
See, I'll turn it a little bit. So we made that little. And then one of the things that see if I can find this. You probably can't see this very good, and I don't think I can make it any bigger. I might be able to go to full screen. I don't know if that makes it any bigger or not. But basically, I want us to see that these seven vials all kind of happen at the end of the tribulation period. I think I can make it bigger from there. So that's the way I know Pastor Brian and most Bible scholars will see these seven vials right at the end of the tribulation period. So that's the time frame we're talking about. And so let's I'll show you one more slide here that I wanted just to see. This is kind of a comparison of the seven seals and the seven trumpets and the seven vials poured out. There's a little bit of similarity just in the sense that there's seven of them. And so that, I thought that was interesting. So let's look at our Bibles now and our handout. And somebody read verse 1 and 2 of chapter 16 if they would.
And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. And there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped his image.
Thank you, Julie. So I want us to see that there's a great voice comes out of the temple. You know, this is not the temple on planet Earth. This is the temple that's in heaven. And it's either God's voice, probably, or Jesus Christ himself instructing these seven angels to take these seven vials. And what did we say the vials were full of? They're full of wrath and the plagues, the seven plagues. So, if you can imagine, I'm just going to do this kind of symbolically, but, you know, there was a big anthrax scare when I was a little younger, and it was like airborne, right? And, boy, it put a little fear, like people would get an envelope at their job and it would kill them. So, just picture this vial being poured out on planet Earth, and, this angel goes and does that, and I've got a little, this is not King James, but, nope, that's not it. This first bowl has this wrath upon earth, and it goes upon people that have the mark of the beast, and it may not look like a 666 in your forehead, but that communicates pretty well there. That what Julie read, it says that they get this noisome and grievous sore, and it fell on the men that took the mark of the beast. So, let me back up. Under Roman numeral 2 on your handout, I kind of focus on this word poor. And my teaching point here is if people would have repented, God would have poured out His Spirit. I had you put the word Spirit in your blank. And that's what this Proverbs 1:23 says. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my Spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. So I had you put the word Spirit. I'm going to kind of write them at the top because I want to put something else down a little bit lower. And so these vials that are full of God's wrath, so I just think that's an interesting statement that God, if we turn, I mean, that's what God wants. He will pour out His Spirit and give us, and He says He'll make known His words unto us. So I want you to see the connection with God's Spirit and God's words right there. And so that's what He wants to do. But because we won't repent, and that's what it's going to say here in just a little bit, is that God pours out, and He puts a mark on, He puts His own mark on them, these sores. And notice, I don't think I, yeah, look at the chart toward the top of your page. The very first vial causes these boils, but it's similar to the sixth plague on Egypt. Do you remember that they get boils? The sixth plague was these boils, and I think it was called murrain on cattle. And that is the one. You remember some of the first plagues, the magicians in Egypt, they were able to also do, but this one is one that they could not do. And so I gave you those reference there, and I put like the magicians in Egypt, the Antichrist is powerless to duplicate or cure this plague. The sore is much like the boils in Egypt, and it's caused from an uncleanness in the bloodstream. And this word noisome, we don't use that word much. It means, you know, you think like when you hear the word noise, you think of a noise, a sound, but that's not exactly right. It's harmful, it's injurious, and it has an odor. And I thought this was interesting, that the origin of this word is from this. I never would have guessed it. From the word annoy. A noisome sore was like annoy. So you've all of us, rather it be, you know, just accidentally cutting ourselves or some little, it's just very annoying if parts of our body don't work right or if we're hurt. But this is a very noisome and grievous sore that they get. And so at the bottom of your page there, God's judgment is righteous. People who took the mark of the beast, so God gave them a grievous sore or a physical mark. So they've got these sores on them. They took the devil's mark, and so God gave them another mark. So that was kind of interesting. Who wants to read verse 3 for us?
I will.
Okay.
And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man. and every living soul died in the sea.
Yeah, so I heard, so we're going to pour out this second vial here and picture the earth, the seawater becoming like blood. And so it says as blood. And one guy I was listening to, he said that at some point in the world's history, I think like the planet Venus came in close orbit with Earth, and like the dust of that planet somehow settled into our atmosphere and it caused some redness to the water. So some people speculate. So, and then there was even, has anybody ever heard of red tide?
Yeah.
And so I guess that is a thing, and it has to do with algae and something doesn't produce something and it kills something and looks red. And I read a little, so that is a phenomenon. So regardless of whether it be asteroid dust or red tide, my teaching point here, and I don't know if you ever thought about this, some say that this would be a natural phenomenon like red tide or produced by cosmic dust from constellations or planetary movement. But these vials are supernatural. And I don't know if you ever thought of what the word supernatural means, but the word super means above. So when we say something is supernatural, we mean it's above natural. And my favorite comic book as a kid was Superman. So Superman meant he's above the normal man, right? He's a Superman. And so when we say something is supernatural, it means it's above nature. It could be a phenomenon, but it has to do with divine intervention. So this is about the Lord doing this.
I have a theory on the blood part.
Okay.
The blood of a dead man no longer transfers oxygen to the body, and that red tide is supposed to delete the oxygen from the water.
Ah, okay. Which causes the death of the every creature in there. Okay. No, that's a good point, Teresa. Thank you. Very, very likely. And I know one guy I was listening to said, this could just be, the Mediterranean Sea that he's talking about. But I know like Pastor Brian and most Bible teachers would believe it's a worldwide event. Cause it does say that all the creatures in the sea, at the end of verse 3 there that Tracy read, every living soul died in the sea. And so, yeah, rather it be taking the oxygen away or just whatever is in there, they die from it. And
why do you think it's translated soul over creature?
Yeah, I thought about that. I was hoping you wouldn't bring that up.
I also have a theory on that. God knows everything.
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. I do know in the Old Testament, my only answer is like several times in the Old Testament, the soul is connected with the body more than the New Testament. So I do think this is an Old Testament context. Cause we would say that we're a trichotomy, right? The body, soul, and spirit. And where animals really only have a body and a spirit. But here it says that these creatures have a soul and that they die. And so some way it's connected with their body, TJ. So I think it's more of an Old Testament context. I don't know if you got any thoughts, Jim, as we read that. Or anybody else?
Battling history.
Oh, are you? What are you thinking, TJ?
So, I mean, every creature could have a soul, but only humans can have their soul sealed by Jesus.
Right, right.
So maybe
right.
The exciting factor.
Yeah.
Well, I still don't believe that you don't get to see your animals when you die.
Yeah, there's a, I mean, there, there's an army of horses coming out of heaven. So I don't know about animals in heaven.
Have you ever seen the movie The Dog's Purpose? But anybody?
No, I don't think so.
It's about a dog that keeps coming back to life until it finds its owner.
So no, we don't believe in reincarnation, but
no, well, I believe that your pets go on. I really do.
Huh. I know Angie hopes so.
Haven't you ever heard of the Rainbow Bridge?
What are you thinking, Joy?
Yeah, I want to see my kids.
I was wondering, this really happened. This is not exaggeration. This is not it is a point truth, okay? I had my son at 8 years old in my truck going home from night church from Lenexa to Spring Hill, Kansas. We were out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, 635. There was no buildings ever going connecting over to go down 291 or whatever. There was a humongous red moon hanging over there. I mean, it was red and it was huge. And I'm driving on the freeway up high, and what did my son say to me? He said, in the dark, he said, what's a prayer you pray to get saved? I look at him and go, okay, repeat after me. So God knows how to get people's attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, nothing. Mm-hmm. We're dots on a ball, floating in outer space. If we don't get that part, we get the visuals. I would like to hear you do a study on the blood moons.
Yeah, that was pretty popular here. Coming
in March.
Huh.
It's actually
actual blood moon.
Yeah.
Oh God, they're scared.
Yep.
Sorry to move to God. Like, wait a minute.
It's the third one, 3 years in a row. It's appeared on Purim.
Well, the Indians believe that when you die, that they, all the animals you interact with, will be there, and they decide where you go.
Okay,
that's what the Indians believe.
It was this big, and red, as all red is. I mean, not kind of red.
That's pretty cool, Joy.
That is.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
But what did he say? He didn't say, God, look at the moon. He said, Mom, what's the prayer you pray to be saved?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well,
real story.
I've got a picture here of this second vial. So this is the reason I put this one up here. The second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. And I like this at the bottom. It says, read the book, avoid the movie.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of a...
Yeah.
Darn it, now I...
Speaking of that, I saw a weird thing. I didn't know. Did you know that the Ten Commandments movie?
Yeah.
They built like this scenery that was like 900 foot high. I mean, like they built it to scale all this stuff. And then instead of destroying it, they blew it up and buried it in California.
Really?
If they ever dig it up, like he even said, if they ever dig this up, they're going to think, you know, that there was something here.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
Robert DeMille or whatever it was. Cecil DeMille.
Yeah.
Very good. All right, verse 4. Let's hit that one. Who's got verse 4?
And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of water, and they became blood.
Now, let's all look back at Revelation 8:11, and Teresa, I'll have you read that also. Read Revelation 8:11.
And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the water became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter.
Yeah, so some of these may be connected with some things that we've already read about, because here this water of this fresh water of these rivers and these fountains of water, but this Revelation 8 says that they were made bitter. And I heard this to be true this week, that some people in the desert were dying of thirst, and they actually drank motor oil. All they had was oil. They had, and they end up dying of that. But when you get so thirsty that so it could be that people are just dying of thirst, and the rivers and the fountains are turned to blood, and they actually drink it, and it would be at the least bitter. So here's the picture I have for that. They should and I think, let's go back to Revelation 16. I think it says this in here. Somebody read verses 5, 6, and 7. This has to do with this blood. TJ, you got it?
Yep, yeah, I got it here. And I heard the angel of the water say, "Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged us. For they have shed the blood of the saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy." And I heard another out of the altar say, "Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments."
Yeah, so this plague or this vial, let's see, I'm not keeping up here with my vials. So this vial got poured on the waters, the rivers and the fountains, and they became as blood, and this angel was being obedient to the voice from heaven to do this. And this angel kind of gives a report, "God, you're righteous to do this. Because these people have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and now you've given them blood to drink, and they're worthy of that." So that's what they deserve, it's saying. So God's righteous for doing that. And then in verse 7 that TJ read, he heard another voice out of the altar. So this is perhaps one of the saints that was actually martyred for not taking the mark. And so this second witness says, "Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments." Now, I was going to talk about this on the next one, the next play here, but you know, the goal of the justice system is to make the penalty fit the crime, isn't it? And we see a lot of variations on that, but so God has declared, because these people have taken the mark of the beast, because they're bloodthirsty people and they seek death over life, God is giving them blood to drink, and God is righteous for. So God's penalty fits the crime. And so in our day and age, we see a lot of injustice. You know, we see people maybe sentenced for years for having marijuana, and then you see people that kill somebody and they're out the next day. So there's an injustice, right? There's kind of double standard, and all of us don't like that. And
I had a teacher say, "If you never learn anything, the law isn't always justice, and justice isn't always the law."
That's probably right. But God's justice is righteous, and this is His justice, and this is His judgment. And so He's pouring out His wrath. They've rejected Jesus. Jesus took our wrath for us. And my point here, this teaching, I thought it was interesting that this second witness, in fact, let's look over at chapter 6, verse 9. We got a couple minutes. Revelation 6, 9. And I'll read that one. It says, Revelation 6, 9. "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held." And so what we just read here in chapter 16 is that there's some type of witness from under the altar, and that's where these souls of them that were slain are at. And so by this second witness, I put the word established in your blank. Because if you remember, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses is every word established. So that's what I put there. I gave you a verse for that. And then let's read verses 8 and 9. We'll talk about this fourth.
I think I can leave one question.
Yeah. Go ahead, TG.
So over and over through the New Testament, like he attributes or it's attributed the blood of the saints and prophets to the Jews. Do you believe this is also kind of like pointing in that same vein? Like they're the ones that always kill their own prophets. Like I don't know that he ever said it to the Gentiles or to the others. It was always, you're killing my people.
Yeah. Yeah, it probably does have to do with the Jewish people. And you remember when Christ was crucified, the people actually cry, "Let His blood be upon us." I think God honored that, and so they do have blood on their hands. And if you remember, the Apostle Paul, he said he declared them the full counsel of the Word of God, so his hands are clean from the blood of all men, because he did give the full Word of God to them. And I think that's very accurate, TJ. It's connected with the Jews. But let's read verses 8 and 9 now, chapter 16, and we'll finish with these. You got those, Jaime? Verse 8 and 9?
And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great hot heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over this plague. And they repent not to give him glory.
Amen. So we're gonna pour out this fourth vial here. This affects the sun, and men are get scorched with this. And that's what this picture on the screen is. The bowl of wrath, this fourth vial. It says the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and people were scorched with fire. So this had to do with heat. And some people speculate this could be like a solar flare. And I've heard that, just within minutes, if a solar flare happened, just the radiation from that could burn people. And so we're not sure. Some people even speculated that this could be like a supernova, like the sun is on its last leg and putting out extra heat before it goes out. And people even talked about like a incandescent light bulb right before it burns out. It gets real hot and before it goes out. And so regardless of what this might be, you can imagine if these people already got boils and sores on them, that the heat's going to irritate it more. There's going to be the stink, and especially if the water's turned to blood and, just the stink of all the dead animals. When it's hot out and an animal dies, it's just extra stinky. So there's a lot of ramifications of all this. And the thing that I wanted to kind of close with is that look at the end of verse 9. It says that they repented not to give him glory. So instead of repenting, and this is what I wanted to think about it as we close today. We got just 5 minutes, but let's just do like this. Your next blank. Well, I'm not going to give you the next blank yet, but let's do this. Let's say all this was happening to your heart and my heart.
Oh, yeah.
And here's a stat for you. Of all the people that get incarcerated, Do you know that the Department of Corrections has almost an 85% recidivism rate? So almost 90% of the people that go to jail have been there more than once. They go back.
Yeah, because once you get in the system, it's really hard to get out.
It is. So they only have about a 15% rate of correction, right? The Department of Correction. So that tells you that just being penalized or being punished doesn't necessarily bring about repentance, does it? It doesn't bring it. So this is good. But I gave you a verse there in your teaching point that the goodness of God, if it's applied, it brings about repentance. Right? So that's what we as a church wants to do. We want to show the love of Christ, don't we? The goodness of God leadeth to repentance.
How's it going?
It's going well. Yeah, it's. We had the ladies got missed last time. We didn't have enough people, but.
I'm going in today.
Are you? We'll pray for you as we end here today, Pam.
Yeah.
So I gave you a little definition of repentance under that teaching. Repentance is a U-turn on the road of life. It is a change of heart that leads to a change in direction. And I gave you a verse from Matthew 21. This is my definition, my biblical definition of repentance. This is the father tells his son to go work in his vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. He told his dad, I won't go help you. But afterward, he repented and went. So he not only had a change of heart, but then he actually put feet, he put an action to his decision. And then I gave you another. Repentance is a byproduct of godly sorrow. And I gave you these verses from 2 Corinthians. Let's all read these from our handout. It says, Now I rejoice not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. And then it says, For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. So did everybody see that? This is some sorrow of the world. If you only have worldly sorrow, it's going to bring about death. So, and maybe we've all been there before, but sometimes we're just sorry we got caught, right? That's not godly sorrow. When you're just sorry you got caught, you know, you're probably going to do it again. But if you have a godly sorrow and you repent, it's going to bring about salvation. There's a change there, right? And so now look at my last point here, and we'll close with this. I put repentance is a gift. I'll put it right here. Now, when God gives us the gift of repentance, it doesn't look like, you know, something that's wrapped in a bow type of gift, but for me, I had to go broke farming. I had to, you know, God orchestrates, you know, you may have had a car wreck, you may have had a death in the family, you may have had some life. So God gave you the gift of repentance through all these circumstances. That's kind of what the, So it's not like we're going to walk out the door and everybody's going to get this gift of repentance. Here you go. No, it's going to be through the events of life. And I gave you a couple of verses here. It says, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And so this, it results in salvation and it results in joy. And that's what your last verse on there. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth.
Yes, rightfully so. What is our trials are our testimony.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So let me end with this. I call this the kind of the salvation coin. If you can think of a quarter on its edge, this is a like a coin. One side of that coin is repentance, and the other is confession. So confession and repentance are kind of two sides of the same coin, where, you know, repentance is saying, God, I am sorry. And confession is saying, God, you were right. God, you were right. These are righteous. It was righteous that I went broke farming. It was righteous that this happened to my relative. It was righteous that I had this illness. It was righteous that this car wreck happened. So I'm confessing to you, God, that I repent. I turn. I want your joy restored. I want you to save me from the situation, or I want you to save me, save my soul. So anyway, hopefully all that makes sense. But these people that went through all this stuff, it says they repented not, and that worked death. That was not godly sorrow. So let's stop there, and we'll pick up with these. I don't know if I'll finish the chapter next week or not. I want to spend a little time on Armageddon. So let's pray, and I'll let you out of here. Lord, we do thank you for this time together. I do pray for your servant Pam and our sister Kelly as they go into the Cass County Jail today, Lord, that the inmates there can develop a godly sorrow, that they will not be part of the 85% recidivism, that, Lord, that they can be corrected and turned to you. And so, Lord, use Pam and Kelly and our men that go in there today. Thank you for this class, and thank you for this church. Church, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.